Welcome to The Rock Movers. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and this is Season 7, where we're having conversations with and for the women who dare to become confident. One rock at a time. What started as a podcast about finding purpose in moving our life's obstacles out of our bags has become something even more meaningful than I could have imagined. And this season, we're bridging all of that into a new confident identity. You'll hear the same bold honesty and truth from soul-deep conversations. But in the middle of all of the rocks, tears, and laughter, you'll also hear the whispers of something new, and you are invited for it all. So, if you're ready, let's move some rocks together with confidence. All right, Rock Movers, can you believe it's Season 7 and the episodes just keep getting better and better and the guests keep getting better and better? And I am so excited to bring to you today someone that is absolutely transforming communications and events in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and that is Elizabeth Mahusai. Elizabeth and I recently connected. I don't know how we weren't connected before because we know so many of the same people. It is insane. But let me tell you a little bit about this amazing rock-moving woman. She is a transformation expert who empowers countless others to realize their potential. She's got a bachelor's, a master's degree. She's from the University of South Florida, which I will not hold against you because I went to Florida State. But she taught chemistry for 10 years before she shifted focus. Now she's got over 19 years in direct sales, building Fred Schatz with her husband. She's trained thousands in positive thinking. She's a TEDx speaker, a YouTuber, and a host of Thinking That Matters.
Yes.
She's also a best-selling author and a professional sales coach. So when I tell you that she brings so much credibility to this conversation, now you know what I mean. So welcome, Elizabeth. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you very much. I am excited about our conversation.
Well, I just know that you are not only breaking glass ceilings, but you're moving some really big rocks in your own career, but for other women especially, but men and women. But women, I think more so because of the example that you are setting. And first off, I want to recognize that, and I want to commend you for that, because we all need someone to go first, and you're going first in big ways. So hats off, hat tip, and kudos to you, sister, for doing that.
I have to say, I like your rock mover title. Like that, I just think that's good. I have definitely moved some rocks in my
thank you
in my journey, and so I could really relate to that visual.
Wow.
And also it's not just the visual. Like for me, that rock mover. If this makes sense, I can feel it. Like it gives me a particular feeling of what it feels like to move rocks.
Yeah,
whether
thank you.
You're moving your own rocks or you're moving rocks that help others that come behind you. Anyway, I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Thank you. I very much
appreciated that name.
Well, that means so much, especially coming from you. So thank you. I received that. It came from one of my talks when I called it the bag lady talk. And it was about how we all carry our own baggage. And at some point in time, we realize I can either carry this really heavy, ugly trash bag full of all of my junk, or I can remove the junk, keep the lessons, these beautiful things that we've learned, the things that have crafted and created us to be the people that we are. And I can carry them in this beautiful, I used a Louis Vuitton as an example, this beautiful Louis purse. So what do I want to carry? The junk, the garbage from life, the heaviness, or the light and the beauty that I've become through those lessons? And one of my friends that was in the audience at the time, she was like, yeah, hashtag rock movers. I was like, oh, I love that. So Leslie, shout out to you. This one's for you. That's awesome. I've given you credit so many times, but I love this story because it just happened so organically. And you're right. For me, it did the same thing. I could visualize that movement. And now it literally is about how am I using what's happened in life to move rocks for myself and then for others. And then we lay them down and the people that are coming behind us get to use them because now we've paved this path. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you do so beautifully and eloquently and courageously with what you do in your coaching and your speaking. So, okay. Let's dive into what that really is for you, though. So you've resonated with the rock mover mantra and movement. What was that big rock that you faced that brought you out of teaching and now you're coaching and speaking and literally breaking the glass ceiling off of so many things in what you're doing today?
Yeah, there are probably two or three key rock moving stories that I could that come to my mind. The brief is, so to answer your question about what pulled me out of teaching and into the sales space was I had our first son. I absolutely loved. It would be hard to maybe express it except for someone maybe shares a similar feeling. I loved teaching. I loved teaching chemistry. I led the science department when I ended up taking my first maternity leave with Anthony. And it's like as my time was coming to a close, I felt internally that struggle of, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I don't want to go back to this thing that I love because I love this human more. Yeah.
And so many women have faced that decision.
Yes. And so I would say for me, the rock there was the limiting belief that career has to look like a salaried position or job.
Yep.
And embracing an entrepreneurial mindset and embracing the, what I like to call don't work, don't eat lifestyle. Yeah. Because when you're commission based, I mean, no one's providing you a paycheck, right? You're in control of that. So that's probably what pulled me out of teaching. And I did teach in a large homeschool cooperative for about 5 years to help in some of that transition. But that would be what pulled me out of teaching. And then people said, well, don't you miss teaching because you love it so much? And I would share with them that I'm still teaching. Even to this day, I'm still teaching. I'm just not formally teaching chemistry. Yeah. I'm teaching Bible. I'm teaching sales. I'm teaching leadership. So I love that I still get to do that that aspect. Another big rock that had to be moved is when we moved from Tampa, Florida to McKinney, Texas, and we restarted not only my direct sales business, but then my husband's photography business as well. Mm-hmm. And that of rocks in my life very much defined what I would say is my now platform of helping people to cultivate thinking that matters. I'm very passionate about it. And my podcast is around that theme. My book, Pick Your Path, really all of my books pull in this value of our thinking and how we cannot ignore it because of the massive rock of needing to restart, not having any friends and family to help us to do so, having to learn skill sets that I'd never had to use before.
Yeah.
And so that's probably the most defining of them. And so I'll stop there, but those are
supposed to be a couple of them. I have a few questions that have popped up. So I too have relocated and moved a few times as a commissioned salesperson, and going into a new community is not only daunting, but it's exhausting. And if you have children on top of that, like we're just going to be real here. If you have children on top of that, you're navigating their new relationships and their feelings and their energy about the move, and your own circles and your own cultures are missing your circles. And then on top of that, you have to be on. If you're listening to this, I'm doing air quotes. When you're in sales, you have to be on when you're in the community, because everything you do is a representation of the company that you represent. You're always potentially selling, because you're constantly, as someone who is commissioned, you're constantly looking for those connections.
And that whether next opportunity or next connection.
Yeah. It's not always the person you're going to sell to is in front of you, but someone they know, you know, could be. So how did you navigate all of that as a mom? I mean, I don't know how old Anthony was or when you moved.
Our boys were 8 and 10 when we moved. And
so you'd had the second one by then and he was already 8. Okay.
Yes.
So Anthony was 10.
Samuel was 8. So they were 3rd and 5th grade. And, you know, when you think that you've got a good plan and you're doing what you think is best, and then, you know, and then you are inserted into the reality.
I love that. And then reality hits.
And, you know, I was listening to you. I could tell that you have moved markets, because I was like, and yes, and yes, and yes. Because I had no way of being prepared for the overwhelm of my own emotions around it, their emotions around it.
Yeah.
And you know, and you're trying to silo to some extent those emotions so that you can somewhat be focused on trying to rebuild a business, which was challenging. Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously I could look back and go, well, shoulda, coulda, woulda, this or that. But what I will say is the hard, so to answer your question, how did I navigate it? Initially, I had to ultimately humble myself to be able to admit that I could not handle it, right? When we moved here, we were convinced that it was going to be easy, okay? That we were all that in a bag of chips.
All of us do that because we talk ourselves up for any situation that it's going to be better, easier, more money, better weather, whatever we have to do,
whatever we
to talk ourselves into.
That's right.
Whatever. This next thing. And then again, here we go. Reality.
Exactly. So first I had to humble myself, and you know, that's not the first time in my life that I've had to humble myself. I should probably, you know, get a clue and humble myself more quickly, right?
I think this is what makes you a fantastic coach, Elizabeth. Let's just be honest, because it's the lesson.
So that in that sense, I had to humble myself and really admit that I needed help, because that's my tendency. Like my Achilles heel, my South Florida, you know, accent starts coming out, is that I want to drop into I have it all together. Like, you know, and present myself well and all of those
again,
things.
Again, that's, you know, a professional woman. We're expected to have it all together. Society has told us you have to do it all, do it with class, do it without looking like you don't have it. Like you're a circus on wheels running down the road, just losing the last monkey. Like, I don't know where that analogy came from, y'all, but
I love
it.
I love it, because let me tell you, it is in so many ways how I felt during that season. So one, humbling myself, admitting that I needed help. Two, it gave me an opportunity to really, as a faith-led entrepreneur, it gave me an opportunity to really come to grips with, I have taught, and by the time we moved here, I had already written like 10 different Bible studies. I taught them. So I had to come to grips with, these are things that you have taught, but you've never really been in that between, as they say, the rock and the hard place or we might use the other proverbial, where the rubber needs to meet the road.
Yeah.
And you need that traction to be able to move forward. And so it gave me a place to, I mean, practically speaking, to put into practice the things that I had been teaching, specifically around thinking. My very first Bible study that I ever wrote was on the book of Philippians. And so Philippians 4:8 is my life verse. So finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy, think on these things, or in other variations, meditate on these things. Yeah. And so practically speaking, when I literally was looking in front of the mirror and I'm like, you are a loser. Like, it's not happening. You know, and like, why is it so hard? And all of those things, I had to find myself going, no, I reject that. Yeah. And I'm replacing it with what is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. I kid you not, I went through a season where I probably repeated that verse 100 times a day.
And thank you for keeping that real, like just being really transparent, because somehow we think someone gets it together and then they keep it together. And we miss the reality that we have to get it together and talk ourselves off the ledge pretty much on a daily occasion, sometimes multiple times a day, regardless of who we are, what level of success we have or have not experienced. We are all just humans working and doing our best to figure this out. So thank you for keeping that real.
True. And I think, though, that it, to your point, that we can easily dupe ourselves into thinking, to your point, we're better than we are. Okay, so there's that. Or that just because I, for example, had done well with my thinking back in Florida, that I was going to automatically do well with my thinking now in Texas, because we can't imagine all of the other factors and variations that are going to come into our life that are going to challenge our thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thus, we need to have core principled practices, as I like to call them, that are always there so that no matter the circumstance, no matter the person, no matter the situation, no matter the emotional aspect of it, we can revert to these principled practices that will help see us through and regain our centering where our thinking is concerned. Does that make sense?
100%. I think the way I see it, and maybe just a different version, we always rise to the level, or we fall to the level of our practice, right? So whatever we have practiced doing, when the rubber has to hit the road, or the, you know what, hits the fan, we revert back to our lowest level, which is the level that we have practiced. And so if we've gone out there, and I think the only difference between those that have experienced success and those that haven't is that they've done it over and over and over and over again and raised their level of practice. And so
true. It's the difference between someone that's a master at whether it's their sport or their instrument, right? You know, they
the
talk
Bruce
about
Lee saying, right?
Exactly. You know, the 10,000 hours they've practiced, right? I mean, they've put into action. People say to me all the time, you're such a great speaker. And I'm like, I've spoken thousands of times. When you are speaking so often, the number of times I've finished and I'm like, oh my word, that was terrible. Even though someone else might say it wasn't. But you get so many opportunities to mess it up while you're learning to take it up. Right. And
I love that. That needs to go on the shirt. That's a great saying.
I'm going to write that down. But it's true that the I like how you said fall to the level of our practice, because we say in the business world, people cannot elevate beyond their systems, right? Your systems will be your biggest limiter in your ability to scale a business. If you lack the systems, you will reach a point at which you cannot grow any further, because you have grown to the max that your system will allow, or your systems will allow. So I'm right there with you on the practice piece of that.
Yeah. And I think the thing that we do is we see people in their more experienced, their mastered days, right? They've done this 50,000 times or 100,000 times, and we're on time two. And
I want to be like her.
right? I want to be like Elizabeth, but obviously I suck because I can't do what she's done. And I've done it twice and you've done it again 50,000 times. And so I think if anything, people can listen to this and say, okay, Karen's on podcast episode 100 plus. Let's go back and look at her podcast episode one.
Amen.
So that we can be inspired to say, oh, yes, we all start somewhere. Right. And in 100 episodes,
yeah.
I'm not sure that I've improved that much. I just have acquired more systems. I've learned a few things, what not to do. And, you know, there's things we just learn by doing some things wrong. And you can't grow from failure if you don't get out there and fail first or try it or practice the things and figure it out. So I love that you shared that. I love that we can be so real and transparent. And I want to just recognize that there's some things that happen when we practice. We can practice and create bad habits and just set them into place, or we can practice, get outside eyeballs on us. So you get that mentor, that coach that's working with you that can see the things that you're not seeing, and they can help you, you know, mitigate those bad habits and change them. And I think that's the next level of difference between those that become masters that do really well and those that continue to just, I'm going to DIY this. I'm just going to figure it out. I'm going to wing it. It's not that you can't, but you're not going to grow as much as someone that's working with someone that can see the missing pieces, see the errors that they're making and replicating.
I could not give that a more bigger amen. And again, vulnerability, humility.
Yeah.
Last year, well, there were some shifts from a business career standpoint. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm running two businesses. I have my own coaching, training, right. speaking business, and then we have our Fred Schatz business, which, you know, is they're both full-time businesses. Mm-hmm. And Fred will tell you, we're a photography business. He's the photo, I'm the business, right? So I'm managing all business aspects of Fred Schatz. And what I found coming into probably between summer and the end of the year, my stress level was high. Mm. I wasn't sleeping well. I could, because I have tinnitus 24/7. It's why I wear hearing aids to help mitigate it. And also because I need it for my hearing. But the ringing in my ears, like without the hearing aids, I would have panic attacks on a regular basis because you cannot escape.
It's gotta be.
You cannot escape the ringing, right? Well, I started having towards the end of the year fairly often that feeling. I know how it feels because mm-hmm. before I got my hearing aids, and I was like, something has to change. This is not healthy. And I need to look at the reality that I have outgrown my systems mm-hmm. or we're outpacing the system. And it is now I'm trying to keep up, but I'm missing things.
Yeah.
So I engaged a coach on the Fred Schatz side specifically for the photography business to help me think through, analyze, look at what are ways I can delegate, what are things that I can put into place that will help streamline that. And I told my coach, there was one call in particular where he gave me a delegation idea. And literally 2 weeks later, I said to that individual, that one suggestion has saved me so much time. It was well worth what I paid you uh-huh. in that one conversation for you to say, you know, you should really try this. And it is such a difference maker. So I am benefiting as well from having those outside eyeballs. Listen, I always say to people, we can't see what we can't see. It's why it's called a blind spot. And right. secondly, we will not change what we are unwilling or unknowing to acknowledge, right? We right. don't know we should acknowledge it, or we're unwilling to acknowledge it. Either way, we cannot change it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm benefiting from outside perspective, which is what right. I do for people as well. Ugh, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, I 100% concur. We cannot read the label from inside the jar. My friend Casey says that all the time. And it's like all the directions are on the outside and I can't see them.
I love that.
So the other thing, when you talked about picking up and moving, my husband and I moved to West Texas.
Okay.
And he grew up there, but had not lived there in 20 years or more. I had never lived in San Angelo. And I, you know, picked up as a financial advisor, moved there. You know, I knew his mother and his grandmother and his aunt and uncle. That was it. One of the things that came from that is I lovingly and laughingly say, I cried the entire way there. I just felt like I was, you know, leaving my beautiful home, all of my networks, all of my friends. I got there. I got to see what I was made of. The best opportunities came to me. I had already started coaching. I really found that I loved coaching more than I love financial advisory. So I dug into that and began creating a 5-year plan for, you know, moving into that full time. I was introduced to my Texas businesswomen there. God gave me a whole new sisterhood. And I also had the opportunity to, I jokingly say I became a big fish in a little pond. I was a part of the American Cancer Society, and I got to be their television voice, right? I would answer cancer questions, and I became this person in the community that people knew as a go-to resource. I also, because I put on events, began to know who to call for what. So people would call me, I need a caterer, I need a this. And so I found my joy in that little town. And then he wanted to move back to Dallas. And we moved back to Dallas and I cried all the way back. So, but I replicated that because I went with me in both places. And whatever my attention was on is what I attracted and what I began to find. So if my intention was finding great women, there's always great women around us. I just had to get out of the way. And so you laugh, you said that, you know, you were the thing. I was totally the thing that was blocking my way. And I was the problem and the solution. And so I would love to know how you have seen yourself as the problem and the solution and what you're doing next and how you're using that message on stages. Hearing the things that you've talked about and knowing the people that have heard you in the room, I have not had a chance to hear you speak yet, but I know how impactful you've been and the people are just singing your praises. So I know that you are making an impact from that place.
I appreciate that. I just want to make sure that I do not step over the fact that yet again, we have some things in common when you talked about crying all the way there. Now, I didn't cry all the way to Texas.
Well, it's a longer drive. I only had 4.5 hours. Yeah. So.
But once we got here and, you know, we were humbled to know that we aren't all that in a bag of chips. You know, Fred did find me crying in the bottom of the closet, like sitting there literally crying in the bottom of the closet.
Yeah.
Because I knew that I needed to get out and it was so challenging. And the other piece too, you know, from a crying standpoint was I had to come to grips with the plan. Our plan was that we would come here and we would replicate what we had in Florida. Mm-hmm. But that was not God's plan.
Yeah.
And it was in a sense letting that go to what you were saying. You had to let that go and embrace what it was going to look like here in the Metroplex. And so I just wanted to say that I could so appreciate that. And now to your question of problem and solution and how I bring that to the stage. So an example of, you know, where this is probably a theme in my life where I'm both the problem and the solution is that the problem is I think too highly of myself. The solution is I have to humble myself and get my thinking in order and recognize that I have a choice that I can make on a daily basis. I can choose to try to elevate myself, or I can choose to elevate God's work in my life, period. And I recognize that not every stage that I'm on, and actually most stages that I'm on, are business centric, right? They're not faith based stages. So it's not often that I get to be, you know, what I love, which is getting my Bible on. But that's why I write Bible studies, because then I get that opportunity. But that problem and solution of most people are thinking not right, whether it's about themselves, about their business, about their family, about their relationships. And the solution for most people is we want to be able to say, well, if you changed, or if you thought this way, or if you did this, then I would be better. Versus the solution is in here. It's how I think about myself. It's how I think about the circumstances. It's how I think about other people. It's how willing am I to take every thought captive and make it obedient? And how that problem became the solution that I ultimately present from the stage is that the ongoing choice in my life that I have to make is, will I choose to be transparent and vulnerable? Well, like, for example, even admitting on here that in the last half of the year, I was dealing with high levels of stress, oncoming panic attacks. That's, you know, I don't like to say that, right? I don't want to say that, but I know I need to say that because it helps people to understand that we won't change what we are unwilling to acknowledge. And so speaking gives me a place where when I'm vulnerable, when I'm transparent, and I attach the practical, principled approach that my heart is to take to work through it, that people can see the purpose in the pain, as some would say, or the message in, you know, that that testing that one goes through, and they're able to, in some sliver, see themselves in whether it's my story or a story that I share.
Right.
And that's what moves them to take action. So the goal is not to just say, oh, look, I've, you know, been able to find a solution. It's really more to help people go, what are you going to take from this? And how are you going to leverage it in your own life, your own business? Because at the end of the day, people are going to believe a little bit of what I say, but they'll believe almost 100% of what they say to themselves. Yeah. And so it's really helping people to cultivate.
That's a mic drop right there. Yeah.
It's why I think it's so important to cultivate thinking that matters, because this isn't about me just transmitting what someone should think. Uh-huh. It is about moving someone to cultivate thinking in their own mind that they'll actually believe, and then they're going to act on what they tell themselves way faster than anything I could tell them to do.
Well, and I think going back to what we started off in the beginning, to kind of circle this back around and round it out, when they see their day two and they get to experience your day 1000, but here you still have challenges, you still face that self-reflection and getting over your own thoughts, and here's how you've done that, they can go, oh, okay, now I can do that too. Because now I've seen it, heard it, experienced it, and now I have some information. So I think that that gives so much merit to why it's important to have speakers that can be willing to be vulnerable, be real. And that's why I feel like we all need, as women, to be willing to be brave and transparent, because that gives others the permission to do the same, and to give themselves a break and a little bit of grace. But that's why women like you are so needed on stages, right? Because we need that message and the action steps to take after. It's like, okay, yes, I know I can figure this out. Elizabeth's a great example, but then how? Right. And then you follow it up with the how.
Yeah.
Because we get stuck on that.
That I will say that's where my love of science comes in. So just kind of a fun way to kind of pull this together. When I went into high school, My thought wasn't to become a chemistry teacher. I thought about being an astronaut. I thought about going to the Air Force Academy. I had
romantic- So did you grow up in Tampa?
No. No. Okay. I spent 10 years from 5 to 15 in the panhandle of Florida. So I want you to think small, rural.
Okay, where panhandle? Because I lived in Tallahassee.
Oh, okay. So think south of Tallahassee. I was East Point, Florida.
Okay.
Apalachicola Bay, yep. Carrabelle, right in that area.
Uh-huh. Woodville was one of like the closest town because I live south of Tallahassee. So
okay.
St. George was our favorite island.
Yeah, exactly. So it's my dad was a commercial fisherman for 10 years there. And so I didn't go into high school thinking, oh, I'm going to be a chemistry teacher. But talk about rock moving. When I got into chemistry, I was in this special program where we had honors chemistry 2 hours a day the entire year. So it was like taking a college class, right, in school. And the first 6 weeks, oh, my word, I was like, whoa, this is hard. Rather than giving up, I went to the teacher and said, will you help me? Talk about having to humble oneself. Because I'd always had really good grades. I prided myself on good grades. And so I came in an hour before school, probably for 6 weeks straight. He would give me extra help, extra problems. He would help me to, what he did for me is he caused me to slow down to be able to, because you mentioned something, when we practice bad habits, we set those in our brain. That's their science behind that. And I'm working on some things right now for just more stage stuff. But part of how you avoid setting bad habits is that you slow things down so that you can learn them properly.
Right.
And then you can set those habits and then you can speed it up, right?
Right. Because we've heard practice makes perfect. That's not true. It's perfect practice.
Practice makes perfect. So Mr. Waters helped me to slow it down and to learn it. So fast forward, like I ended up excelling in his class. And by the time I finished, I was like, I want to help other people do what you did for me. It makes me emotional just thinking about, because still to this day, he was one of two educators that I dedicated my Pick Your Path book to. It was
special.
The coolest thing. He messaged me because he got a copy of it. He always gets a copy of my books. And he was like, thank you so much for, you know, dedicating the book. Anyway.
Is he still living now?
Say it again.
Is he still alive now?
Oh, he is. He is. And after 40 years of teaching, I think he just retired.
Wow.
But my point is that chemistry for me was my first major rock move, right? Like intellectually. And having to learn, and it taught me how to think. And so all of that to say that it's important that women or whomever the audience is, that they're getting ways to slow down the challenges that they're facing and retooling themselves in some cases to be able to build better habits around how they think about it. Because what I say to people is our shelves in the bookstores are filled with self-help. People say, I have this problem. We go right to behavior modification, to the neglect of the thinking that led to the poor behavior to begin with.
Yeah.
And so that's truly just, I'm so passionate about that mission of helping people cultivate thinking that matters. Because I recognize we can try to change our behavior all we want, but we will revert back into the same poor patterns of behavior because we have not dealt with the poor thinking that led us there to begin with.
Yeah. I love that you shared that because we are living in an instant society, right? The fast food drive-through, you know, if our internet takes 5 seconds to pull up something, we're, complaining. I'm throwing myself under the bus on that one. It all started with dial-up, like the kids that don't know dial-up. Like, I mean, we could so go down this road. Okay, we won't show how old we are. However, I love that you said slow it down Oh my gosh, I have so many 80s things going through my head and 70s things right now. Oh, party gosh. Lines.
I'm having a flash because I'm just laughing about that, hearing those dial-up modem sounds. Mm-hmm. Oh my
word. And then the, how many times did you wait for, you've got mail.
Exactly.
So can we take a breath and take a pause in our lives and just slow down to just unlearn a bad habit, relearn, gain a new tool, gain a new resource, practice that, perfect that, and do that better and give ourselves the grace and the space to slow down. I love this message so much. You know, so many of us can learn.
You're making me think about something that, so I'm reading this book called Work Clean. Well, technically, I'm listening to it because I listen to it while I work out, but because I very much believe in habit stacking. But the book takes the approach of what you can learn from the world's best chefs and those that they're teaching to become chefs, and also then how that relates in our office environment, our home environment. And which is why that slow down to speed up is on my mind, because it was in a recent chapter.
Yeah, you hear it so often.
And so part of, I think, talking about our society, technology has allowed us to do more in less time. Mm-hmm. And so not only are we dealing with the instant gratification of everything, but we're also dealing with a much faster pace of receiving information and feedback, right?
Yeah.
And so as a result,
on overload.
Yes, people can become very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. They start thinking that the only way to make it is if I can do it fast. And then as a result, they're learning bad habits that are not serving them well. And then they wonder why they're so stressed and why they say that my business has overtaken my life, or my job has overtaken my life, or, you know, and we wonder why marriages are failing and kids are saying you're never home, and just all of those things. I think that if we can have an awareness that we do need to find ways to slow things down, I think there's something more there. I sense a keynote coming out of that.
I hear it. If not a book and a keynote, there is something there. And I think it's so counterculture that it's probably really needed.
I agree. It is so counterculture. We are often so convinced that we have no choice in the matter. When in fact we do. And it's funny, I think what led me to that thought process is when you said we used to wait for dial up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, that really, in the scope of things, I mean, I remember that, where you were having to wait for it to connect, and then, you know, it was slow, but we didn't even recognize it as slow.
We didn't know any different. And that's the difference, is now we do. And so now our expectation has been
elevated.
Elevated. And I mean, you talk about habit stacking. This is expectation stacking.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
That's
because good. Now, yep. You've responded in 2.4 seconds, so now I have to respond back to you in 2.2, when really, if we would take a breath and think about the response, we might respond differently with less emotion,
yes,
or more consideration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oftentimes we react rather than respond, so it gives us a moment to
preach,
pause and
preach.
Think, oh, I just, yes, we are so in sync today on all this.
Yes, we are.
And the message that I know people are hearing is that you have a choice. And for me and my coaching, it all comes down to the foundation of choice.
Mm.
You know, we get to choose, because you talk about you think too highly of yourself, which I would argue that point. You seem very, very humble. I probably am the opposite. I struggle to think high enough of myself. And so there is no right or wrong in this. We're not trying to outshine each other.
Right.
But neither are healthy.
Correct.
And neither are really true when it comes down to we're both just here to serve. It's how we approach our internal conversations. And so through the lens of our own experiences and life and all the things, we've come to this place and we're both agreeing. So I know that there's so much here in this conversation that people are just going to be like, oh, they are so polar opposite in some things, yet, you know, exactly so parallel aligned.
Right.
In this, that there has to be some merit to this conversation. So, I can't believe we've been on here 45 minutes. This conversation has absolutely flown and we could go on for probably another hour. But I just want to give you one more opportunity to share how people can best connect with you, because I know you're everywhere because you are very efficient. But where is the best place to connect? Is it LinkedIn?
I absolutely love when people connect with me on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. They can also subscribe to my podcast, Thinking That Matters. That's another place for that. And subscribe to my YouTube channel, because I do drop a motivational video every Monday, which just kind of gives that, I like to say, that positive shot in the arm to get the week started.
Yes.
It goes out. Well, I text out to everyone that subscribes at 8 a.m. on Monday, but usually I make it live on Sunday. But LinkedIn is probably a great place. And then, of course, my website, which is my name, elizabethmahusai.com, has, you know, all of my book resources are there. My Bible studies, there are teaching videos that go along with it. There's a lot of great resources available on there. And of course, they can connect with me through there as well.
Okay, perfect. So if someone's hearing this and they're like, okay, we need to get her to speak in front of our group, our organization, can they also book you from your website?
They can. Okay. The very first tab is keynote speaker, and that will give examples of some of my my signature keynotes, as well as the opportunity to fill out an information form there.
I love it. Well, if you're listening to this and it's you know, just something that you see would benefit your organization, especially if you're in the Dallas area, make sure that you connect with Elizabeth, because I have a feeling that, number one, her prices are going up soon, if they haven't already before you hear this episode, because this lady is on fire and there's going to be some new keynotes added. So just keeping that in mind. But I just want to thank you so much for being on here, for being such a great guest and so willing and so generous. And just want to encourage everyone to take the golden nuggets, listen to this again, plug it in, have it stacked, listen to it while you're working out, while you're driving, while you're communicating with your husband, pause this and be like, okay, Elizabeth said that I need to humble myself. And just know that whatever rock you're facing, life will pass, take a breath, slow down, and then look at it with fresh eyes and know that you don't have to go through this rock alone. There are amazing coaches out there like Elizabeth, so that you can get the support that you need to help you see the blind spots that you're not seeing now, to identify the areas where you can slow down, grow, and then scale, elevate, and change your thinking. So thank you so much for being here. We will see you on the next episode of The Rock Movers and Elizabeth. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Really appreciate it very much.
Oh my gosh, wasn't that conversation the best? I can't tell you how excited I am for this season. The guests just keep getting better and better, and I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I would love to connect over on social. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram mostly, but you can also find me on TikTok. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode, because this season is just going to get better. And if you've been looking for a way to learn more from me, to find out more about my VIP framework, or to just find out what it means to be supported at a truly deep, life-changing, transformational level, book a call. It's free. There's no obligation. I am just here to love and support you through it all. Because bottom line, we win together. And I am so grateful that you are a part of my rock moving family. And please share this episode or our podcast with another woman who's on her journey to finding her voice and stepping into her next level of confidence. That's why we're here together. So keep moving rocks, keep changing lives, and keep being a VIP of your own life by moving rocks one rock at a time. Just know you don't have to do it alone. We're here for you. I love you. And I will see you on the next episode of The Rock Movers.